Welcome to Wat Zij Wil, meaning what she wants in Dutch. This is the podcast for women with a goal in mind. In this podcast, women share their greatest successes as well as their daily challenges. Wat Zij Wil is made possible by Zalando. Just like us, Zalando wants to inspire you to go for your goals. Your host is Hennen Shalouki, creative entrepreneur and founder of Inclusified. In this episode, I talk to Sarah Lou. She has a vlog called Molen Sisters. She's a marketeer at Molengeek and an entrepreneur with her own consulting business. As a YouTuber, she tries to break various stereotypes surrounding Molenbeek and minorities. As an entrepreneur and marketeer, she wants to contribute to creating opportunities and honoring diversity. We talk about her personal journey and the people that played an important role in it. Hi, Sarah Lou. How are you?
Hey, Hennen. I'm fine. And you?
Yes, I'm great. I'm so happy to have you because I know we've met like a couple of times through other organizations and events. But I'm very happy to finally have a chance to just talk with you about the things that you are doing because you do a lot of different things. Yeah. But let's start with your YouTube channel, Molen Sisters. Why did you start it?
I started in the first place for my mother because she is a fashion designer. She has her own brand for 20 years now in Belgium. And I always thought that she does amazing things and she deserves to be known by all the world. So I was like, yeah, I will show her work in YouTube and talk with people around the world and show them how amazing she is. And after that, it turns that the YouTube channel was more like me, my personality, my vision, and it changed after that.
Oh, nice. So you made a YouTube channel to make your mom famous, and then you got famous. That's nice. I think most people got to know you, or many people got to know you through the cover of the song Balance Ton Quoi by Angèle. And I loved it, by the way. I found it hilarious. But I like the fact like you changed the meaning of the song to reflect on your own personal experiences as a hijabi in Belgium, basically. Yeah.
I love Angèle. I love her song in the first place, Balance Ton Quoi, to highlight women's situations. But I thought that there was a lack of intersectionality.
Yes, intersectionality, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I feel that I have my version of the story too, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why we wore that with my sisters and just like we feel it.
Yeah. Because I think like when it comes to feminism, definitely like in a Western context, that area, you know, we usually only hear about the white feminism and from those perspectives. But I think what you made very clear with your song is that you are a Muslim woman and you're also a feminist.
Yeah.
And both can be possible. So how do you define that? What does that mean to you?
I think it's not obvious to talk about feminism because everybody has her definition about feminism. And when I talk about that, people are shocked, both sides, like, what? You talk about Islam and feminism, it doesn't exist. What Islam is against feminism, you know? So I define myself like feminist and Muslim feminist because I am for the égalité between
equality
between women and men. And it's in phase with my Muslim side, so I can't see the contradiction between them.
Yeah, and I think it takes a different perspective to see that, because if you only look at it from an outside and all you've ever heard is Muslim women are oppressed, then it's very difficult to understand that. And I think it's something that you made very clear with that cover, with that song, basically.
Yeah, there was a sentence, you try to save me, but you oppress me, something like that, you know.
Yeah.
With all the laws, like, Muslim women can't do that, can't work there, because they are oppressed. No, you oppress me because you are the cause that I can't do my sport there or work there. And I'm not oppressed at the first place.
Yeah, I like that. I like the part in the video where you jog like with your hijab and everybody is like running behind you. Like, what is happening here? A hijabi that is jogging. It is so crazy that we still hear those comments, or that we still have to deal with that perspective in the first place.
It was a reference to the Decathlon buzz just before. Yeah. It was like, so, you know, people don't understand, but I told them it was like that. It's how I feel it, you know, when people on Twitter tweet some hate speech, and it was like a lot of people yelling on me because I'm running with my hijab. It was just crazy.
Yeah, and just to give some context, so it was indeed during that time that Decathlon had launched a sports hijab, but then they got so many negative feedback and comments that they pulled back the product, you know, that they, and they didn't sell it anymore, which was a weird signal, of course, but again, it shows how sensitive these things are and how much fear there is to do something in favor of Muslim women, which is crazy, of course, but I think you brought it in a really nice way in that song. So you're talking about hate speech online. Do you deal with that often? Do you get also like negative reactions on the YouTube channel, for example?
Yeah, of course. Unfortunately, in the both side again, I received a threat.
Really?
Yeah. I participate recently to a film. I don't know if you heard about it. Sale Pute, from Florence Henoux and Myriam Leroy.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's about sexism in the streets and everything, right? Like gender intimidation.
No, just online.
Online gender intimidation. Okay.
So I talk there with a lot of other women, and it's horrible what you can hear about cyber harcèlement. For my case, I had the chance to have a supporting family, a supporting husband, and an education that made me self-confident. So I don't wait for somebody to say who I am and to insult me. So I deal with it. My husband delete sometimes before I read it, you know, because even it doesn't touch
you. That's real love. Like somebody else deleting hate comments for you.
Totally. You know, even it doesn't touch you directly, it affects you when you read all the day bad comments about you. It's like negative energy, and you don't be surrounded by negative energy. So it affects you anyway.
But I think what you said there is very important. Like, you have to be quite confident to not let it get to you, because it's very easy to, you know, it's very easy to share something online and get a lot of hate comments on it. But how you deal with it really shows your level of confidence and how strong you are. So did you always have that, like that level of confidence, or did you build that, and how did you do that?
I really have the chance to have a mother. She's an entrepreneur. She ran her fabric.
Yeah, her business.
Son usine. Right? Okay. She has a lot of employees, men, women, since forever, since I was a kid. So the strength of my mother, and to grown up with a mother like her, helped me a lot to be a full woman, and and to be confident. So my education is, my parents are everything for me, and they give me everything.
Oh, I like that. You can get so much from your mom.
Yeah.
but it's true. If you have a strong female role model, I think that does a lot, and it clearly did a lot for you too. And I think today, like for a lot of young people, you are a role model as well, especially for a lot of young women. But you're also the chief marketing officer at Molengeek.
Yeah.
How did that happen? And for those that don't know, what is Molengeek?
So Molengeek is an ecosystem who give access to the new technology to everyone. How we take the boundaries, I don't know how to say that.
Like the boundaries that young people have to deal with often.
Totally. For example, money, everything is free. For example, I don't know, if they don't have computer, we gave them. We are, if they work, for example, we are open 7 days, 24 almost. And we do events about technology. So people are ready to invest 1 hour, 1 weekend of their time, and and they don't want to go to the a 6 month training, for example, to taste something new, you know, about technology.
Yeah, just like small skills workshops.
Yeah, exactly. And the hackathon, weekend startup, something like that.
Yeah, nice.
And after that, we offer them to develop their skills or their project, their idea. So we have trainings and we have an incubator.
Okay. Nice, so nice. And because it's a project, like it has gotten so much positive attention because Molengeek does amazing things. This is not sponsored, by the way. I'm just a really big fan of the organization. And I wanted to know, like, how did you start your journey at Molengeek? Where did that begin?
So it's really funny. I'm a Molengeek product, you know. I will explain to you why. It's always something doing with my mother in the first place. Okay.
Yeah.
I came there because I wanted that my mother goes digital with their brand, her brand. So I went there. I met the founder, Ibrahim, and he proposed me to work there in the incubator to develop the idea that I had to digitalize the brand of my mother. And I worked there. And you know, when you are in Molengeek, you are part of a community and we help a lot each other. Everything is free, but you have to help others with their project. For example, my specialty is marketing. I have to work with a developer who developed the application, and I will have them with the launch, for example, participating to brainstorming, something like that. So I started there, and one time they had difficult to fill a training because one of the employees was sick. So I helped them with a video, just a last minute video quickly, and it was a buzz and they had hundreds subscribers, and Brian was like, you will work for me, you.
You're not going anywhere.
So I started there, I was surrounded by entrepreneurs, by startupers. So I wanted to create my own company. So I launched with my husband, with the help of Molengeek, our web consultant company, Zara Consulting. And so I took Molengeek as a client, but others too. And
wow.
I started there, yeah.
So nice. I like the idea of that it creates like a supportive community, because I think everybody has their own skills and sometimes you want to be able to do everything and anything. But, you know, some people are just better at some other stuff. So let other people help you. And I think those are the things that make Molengeek such a perfect fit for what it is that you do. And then you started your own business, as you said, Zara Consulting, with your husband.
Yeah.
Is that something that you would advise to others?
I always worked with my husband, and that's how we met. So we work really well together.
Okay.
And it's an important thing for us, because we build our lives with our work, you know, with
okay.
projects. And for example, here we finished big project last week, and we decided in last minute to go to vacation. But we decided together, you know, because we work at the same time on the same project, and we know how difficult it is sometimes. So the other take children, take you know, lead in the at home. So it's easier to understand the other and the work of
To really support each other.
Yeah.
And what is it exactly that you do with Zara Consulting?
Yeah, we do. We are specialized. Sorry for my English.
No, your English is great.
In video marketing, and I take a project marketing project, web marketing project for my clients. For example, I organized last week the Geek Summit for Morning Geek. It was a summit where we talk about digital for education. For example. Organize stuff like that.
Okay, nice. And like, where do you see it going? How long have you been doing it now, Zara Consulting?
3 years now.
3 years. And what are your plans with it? Like,
to have fun, actually.
I like that. I like that as a goal, to have fun.
Yeah.
I think many entrepreneurs don't focus on that enough.
Yeah.
Like, that it has to be fun.
I don't dream about being a big entrepreneur. I don't know what it is mean. I feel like I always have fun in whatever what I do, and it's really important for us, because work is the almost part of our lives. So we wanted to do great.
Yeah, no, I get it. You want to do it right. You want to have fun, you know, you want to have enough fun. And I think in your case, like, you combine a lot of different activities. How do you find any balance in them?
It's hard. It's a hard question.
I know. I find it very hard as well.
Yeah. Balance, I think you know, balance is something that even you find it at a point, you can lose it, you know, because you keep moving. So sometimes,
what I find really funny is people can't see this, but you're doing like this balance exercise thing with your shoulders. I love it, because that's really how it feels like.
Yeah.
One time you're almost tipping over, and then the next one you're really good in balance. I love that.
Yeah, totally. It's really, really hard, but we try. We try.
You try.
And, yeah, we try hard.
How do you try? Like, are there certain things that you do, or certain activities, or something you do to maybe not work at all?
Yeah, we take time, you know, and we take time for things that it's important for us. You know, when you work hard and you are always busy, you say always, I don't have time. I don't have time, you know.
Yeah.
And we try hard to take time to say, now stop. We are going there. We are going to sport together. Or we take time with children and we do activities. So.
Yeah. And I like that, you know, you specifically said, like, take time with your children. Because, you know, what I hate is that we always ask women, like, how do you combine family life with your work life? And we never ask men this. We only ask women. But I like, because you are with your husband in a business. You're running it together, and you have to combine it again with those children. So I can imagine that it's not always easy to switch off work and start home, because you're always, like, in a way, you're always with the most important element from your home, even in your business. How do you switch? Do you sometimes, like, switch it off? Like, no work this time. This is it. We're just focusing on rest or like other fun activities.
Yeah. We have the chance that we work per project. So sometimes I'm really, really focused on my work. For example, 1 month to 2 months, but it's really intense. And after that, I can take 3 weeks, 1 month with my children, you know.
Oh, wow.
So I don't have a routine like, at the evening I do that, I switch or no.
Yeah.
I'm like a period.
Okay, I like that. Like you have a certain period of time where you are really invested in your work and then you can let it go again for perhaps a couple of weeks and do other things.
Yeah, totally.
And that works for you.
Yeah, it's not the financial more stable thing.
Yeah, not the most stable solution.
Yeah, but it convinced me. I think it's more important.
Yeah, and I think like if it works for you, then it's good enough, right?
Yeah, totally.
What have you learned from other entrepreneurs in your environment?
A lot of everything.
Mostly from your mom, probably.
Yeah. When I think about my mother and I remember one time she had to deal with a man that he didn't accept her authority because she was a woman.
Oh, wow.
And I have this image in my head, my mother being strong, you know, and not be angry or, you know, always self-control. And and she fired him because he was making a lot of faults. But she was really, I found that she was really strong this moment, and it inspired me. But I learn every day, every time with people around me. In Molenge, for example, startupper that they have a lot of ambition, a lot of idea, they go for it and they fight for it, and it really inspired me a lot.
Nice. The thing that happened to your mother, is that something that you have experienced as well? Like that people may not respect you even in your business just because you are a woman?
Not like that, like explicitly like that, a man that told you. But yeah, of course.
In a more subtle way.
Yeah. I have the chance in Molenge that I work in a space really as safe. They don't see me like a woman or a mother, or I'm really, really cool at Molenge. Yeah. I never felt that in any work I was. But yeah, of course, mansplaining, I know.
Mansplaining. Yeah. Do you experience that a lot, mansplaining?
Yeah, of course, every time. And I'm like, I'm always like rejecting that. And my husband is like, cool, not cool. I just can't.
And how do you deal with that when it happens, like in that moment?
I'm emotive. I'm too emotive, but I can deal with it otherwise. I'm like shocked every time. You know, recently, it was a friend, and he told me, he asked me to help him about something. And I was really busy, and I thought, yeah, why not? I will help you quickly as much as I can. And after that, I give what I can, but it was not enough for him. Mm-hmm. And he began to explain me how it works in the work world, you know, like, you know, it's not because you are a woman with two children that we can forgive you give enough. It was crazy. I was like, man, I was helping you. I don't have time, and you don't have to learn me how to work. I work for my business for 3 years now. I have a planning client, so who are you?
That's just a lack of respect, really.
Yeah, totally. I was like, what are you talking about? You know, I have to prove myself that I deal with clients every time. I don't understand.
Yeah, and that's what I think I hate most about those situations. It's like your experience doesn't matter, your professionality doesn't matter. Suddenly you are just that woman.
Yeah.
That doesn't know anything. Yeah, with two children. That doesn't know anything.
Yeah, I don't understand that, but anyway, I'm too emotive when I talk about that because it's
so it's really annoying when these things happen. What advice would you give to other women that find themselves in these situations, like where they are mansplained or where they are not taken seriously because of their gender?
You know, it's a little bit like hate speech on the internet. You know, when you focus on you and your self-confidence, you don't take the main planning situation, but it's hard, and it's why I'm so emotional about it, because I see around me women they don't have ambition, you know, or lack of ambition than men, because of not just men's planning, but all the context they live in, you know, and it's hard to see that. It's like injustice.
Yeah, injustice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you find yourself ambitious?
Not enough, I think.
Why not enough?
Because sometimes when I see around me, I see men, they don't have skills and they don't hesitate. You know, they just go. And sometimes I think a little bit too much, or I overthink.
Oh, you're an overthinker.
Yeah.
I think a lot of female entrepreneurs are overthinkers.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know.
Men can do things like more confident and just go do it, and we tend to think a lot about
even they stuff. Don't have the skills.
Yeah.
Or they are not legitimate or some no, they don't care. They go for
they
it.
They just do it. Yeah. Maybe we should learn to be a little more like that.
Yeah, totally. I think we can observe how the world works around us and adapt ourselves. Even we don't have that naturally in our education, we can learn, I think.
What are the things that you have learned in the past years of your entrepreneurship?
Everything. I think I was born in my first year of entrepreneur. Was really hard in the first place, really, really hard, you know, to understand everything, how it works, to be organized, to think about everything, about we had our first employee last year, so it was a new step. You have responsibility about someone else, so I learned really everything, but I learned that everything is possible with a company, you know. You are so limited when you are an employee, you are so... And I learned at school that it was the only way to be employee in a web agency because entrepreneurship was so difficult. In Belgium, it's so impossible to be happy and be an entrepreneur. So it was like a revelation.
Yeah, revelation. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, what? No, it's not true. It's an amazing world. And all the world, you know, there's the world in Belgium and the world of entrepreneur. And no, I don't believe it anymore.
You proved them wrong.
Yeah.
What achievements are you most proud of?
No, it's hard.
Yeah, it's hard because you've done a lot of great things.
I think there is not one thing that I'm proud of, but every time I'm not in my comfort zone, you know, and I do that in anyway, I go yeah. and I learn, and you know, and my stomach is like it's like painful. I'm going, and when I fight, I'm really proud, you know. I'm like, yeah, I did it. It was not easy. It was not something that I knew about it, or it was totally yeah. new for me, but I did it anyway.
And then that's great. Like, you get that sense of achievement because you did something, even though you were really scared. Definitely when you're really scared and have lots of anxiety about something, and then you get over that, that's it makes you so proud, and it really should. Those are the proud moments, right?
Yeah. But for, you know, for YouTube channel, for example, it's not something that's, it's really hard for me. So sometimes I don't feel like I deserve it, you know?
Because it's so easy.
Yeah, that's easy for me.
Yeah.
But I do other things like nobody's seeing. So hard for me, but I'm really proud to do it.
Yeah, that's nice. It's really cool. If you would have to give one piece of advice for other women that would also want to be an entrepreneur, if you would tell them, like,
do it, don't think about it. Advice. Do it.
That's your advice. Just go for it.
Yeah. Don't think, you know. Sometimes at Morning Geek, I see women coming with amazing ideas, you know. And I'm like, go for it. But they have families and friends. They are scared for her. And they talk like, don't do that. You don't know. It's a risk, blah, blah. And after that, I see other people having the same idea and doing what she could do at the first place. I'm like, no, why? Why? See how it's going. It's amazing. you could do you this project. And it's hard because the first boundary is your family and people who care about you, because they care about you, you know. So they're scared and they convince you to don't take risk.
Yeah, and sometimes you want to take good advice, but also like sometimes you don't want to listen to the people around you because they look at it from a very different perspective.
Yeah. What I do today, no one in my family could even understand what I'm doing. It's like... Maybe she works maybe in a school. I don't know. No.
Yeah, they don't even understand.
Yeah. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
You know? You will be surrounded by other entrepreneurs. They do same work like you, or they have same interest. It will come, but your family is your family.
Yeah. They're not your business advisors.
No.
Okay, Sarah, I have one final question for you. Do you consider yourself successful?
We have to define success at the first place. What is success? I think if success is the chance to take opportunities to do what you really want to do and to have fun in your life, I think it is. But I don't define success like, you know, big numbers, you know, like no, if success is making what they drives you and making also something that makes sense, you know. With young people, for example, what we do in Morning Geek is just amazing. And when I see them and when I talk with them, I'm like, yeah, I'm proud to be a part of it, you know.
I love it. Love it. And I think you're quite successful, actually.
Thank you, Hanan.
Thank you so much, Sarah, for this conversation. I'm sure you're an inspiration to so many more women. And I hope to talk again soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Hanan. Thank you.
This was What Zij Wil, a podcast in collaboration with Zalando. Thanks for listening. Did you find this episode interesting? If so, be sure to leave a review or send us a message on Instagram at WhatSayWillPodcast. See you next week for another episode of WhatSayWill.